everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're just really glad you've joined us.
You know, Dr. Linda, the weekend reminds me of weddings, because you'll typically have a wedding on a Saturday. Have you been to a wedding lately?
I haven't been, but I certainly have been to my share of weddings. I've been thrown a wedding, so right. Why are you asking me about that?
Well, I used to DJ wedding receptions. It's been a while, but it used to be my thing.
So, like, did you wear an outfit and spin records, and were you, like, the man up there,
no,
or what?
It was a little more Baptist.
Which means what? You had a suit and tie on?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
It doesn't sound like DJ to me.
Well, when I was DJing, we did this game where everyone would be on the floor, on the dance floor, and we'd start playing a song. And I would say, if you've been married a year, you have to leave the dance floor. And then 5 years, you have to... This goes on for about 10 minutes. And finally, there's that one couple who's been married 60 years or more, still dancing on the floor. And everyone, you know, it becomes a big party at that point. We celebrate and congratulate them for their longevity.
So the idea is that the more years you have, the fewer and fewer people right. are lasting on the floor. That's not a good sign, is it?
That's right. Well, today on the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, what if I told you that you could be that couple and that there are specific principles you can learn right now to help divorce-proof your marriage? Well, stay tuned on today's show. That's exactly what the program is about.
So we are going to talk about how to divorce-proof your marriage today, and what are the secrets of lasting relationships. And these principles that we're going to cover today were really developed by a leading marital researcher named Dr. John Gottman. And what I really like about these principles that he came up with through his research is that they're very compatible, Chris, to Christian principles in many ways. And so we've adapted them to fit our worldview, and I'm sure that you're going to see the compatibility as we talk more about them.
That's right. Dr. Gottman talks about building a sound relationship house, one that won't crumble under stress when problems come.
And of course, we're people of faith, so we're going to add a little bit to that theory right there. We do believe it's important to build a good, strong structure in your marriage, but we're going to start that foundation with the foundation of faith. If we don't have a house that is built on a sure foundation, then we're going to run into trouble. And for us, as people of faith, that sure foundation is Jesus Christ, often referred to in Scripture as the cornerstone.
That's right. In ancient construction of a house, the most solid, carefully constructed part is the cornerstone. A stone that, if removed, would end in the collapse of the structure.
So I don't really know much about architecture, but I'm assuming this is an actual stone that is put on the corner of a house? Our producer is nodding his head. He knows what a cornerstone is. So Norm, give us what that analogy is all about.
Well, the idea is you have to start square, and so you get this perfectly cut cornerstone that gives you the right angle, and then all the walls are stay straight after that, and it supports them.
So it's really supporting the whole structure of what you're building on and direction of the structure. So see, we learned something today. We didn't even have to Google it. We have somebody that's an actual living resource. But that is really important, because what we're saying is the sure foundation that you build the structure of a marriage on is Jesus Christ, that cornerstone.
Now, the thing is, we know that Christian marriages can fail, but you're saying that it is less likely if Jesus is that strong cornerstone. Our faith helps to weather the relationship storms.
The stronger the spiritual intimacy, the better all couples do in their relationships. I've seen that over and over in practice. When we stray away from that sure foundation, Chris, that's when we tend to allow lies to get into our heads. That's when we get tempted by other things. Maybe we're not overcoming those temptations. Our faith is what helps us weather those relationship storms. God has to be a priority, or we easily get tempted or pulled into our own self-centeredness. And when that foundation of faith isn't strong, the relationship can fall apart. It's not the only factor, but it is a main one.
So after we pour a spiritual foundation, how then do we begin to build a strong relationship house?
So a house needs walls to hold it up, right? And so the walls of the house have to be trust and commitment. Both of those are really essential to build a strong marriage. And we would all agree that all marriages are bolstered by a really good trust in each other and that commitment that you make. Those are givens. Those hold up the walls of your marital house.
You know, Dr. Gottman talks about how the first levels of your relationship house should be focused on friendships and building what he calls love maps. So what's a love map?
You know how you, when you have a friend, you tell each other secrets, you talk about the details of your life. You
talk about other people.
No, that's not the concept. It's more about your own likes and your dreams and all sorts of intimate things. Well, a love map is knowing all those details about your partner's life, and it shows your partner that you really know him or you really know her. It's like you're saying, I'm really tracking with you. In therapeutic language, you say, I'm attuned to you. I'm tuned in to what's going on with you. Basically, it's being familiar with all the inner workings of your partner's world. And when you know your partner well, and the relationship is one of being best friends, you just do so much better when you're dealing with stress. When you have that type of intimate connection, you sort of support each other along the problems. But when you don't have it, things really fall apart. And it's easier to lose your way when crisis comes. And couples that really struggle with a basic friendship then get into a lot of problems down the road.
So how do we build a love map?
Well, you begin that just like you would with a best friend, like I just said. So let's use an example of that. There are a few questions that you can ask your partner to begin to build that love map. Let's do a few questions and see how many of these we could answer. We're both married.
Right.
And we've been married for a while, both of us. So the more you have spent time with that person, the idea is the more you're supposed to know about that person. So we hope that holds true, right?
Right.
So let's just do a few of them. So could you name two of Sharon's closest friends?
Yes, Abby and Megan.
All right.
Okay. What was Dr. Norm wearing when you first met him?
Oh, my gosh. That is so many years ago. I really do think I remember this, though. I really do think he was wearing a sweater. That was a long time ago.
Been a while, yeah.
And he was a missionary kid, so fashion wasn't really his thing at the time. So how about, could you tell me if I asked you what Sharon's fondest dream would be?
She would like to be a physician's assistant.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Sort of move ahead further in the
medical area.
Health promotion world, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's been into health promotion, so you know what her dream is.
That's right.
That's really great.
What is Dr. Norm's greatest fear or disaster scenario?
That's really hard because he's not a fearful person.
Is it zombies?
No, it's not the invasion of zombies.
Right.
A world takeover. You know, I'd really have to think about that. That's a great question. We've been married a lot of years. I don't think I would know the answer to that. I know some of the things that he might fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually related to people that are untrustworthy.
Right.
But I don't know that there's a thing. So I would say he's just not a fearful person.
There we go.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. So do you get the idea?
Yes. This could be a lot of fun. It could also reveal lots about your relationship.
I think we should
well.
Do this on Instagram. Let's play this game on Instagram and give people a little taste.
That sounds good.
All right.
Well, you aren't expected to know all of this, especially right at the first night of the honeymoon.
That's right.
But it seems like this process takes some time.
It does. It's not like you get married. Now, you should have spent some time talking about this stuff when you're dating.
Right.
Right? So you hope that you get to know that person fairly well, and you hope that they are your friend when you get married. So you don't just have this love thing, but you also have this friendship going.
Is it okay to just outright ask your partner, what do you like? Who was your best friend growing up? Is it okay to ask those questions?
Yeah, I think that's the basics of dating, isn't it?
It is,
and
yes.
That's how you get to know a person as a good friend, is you start talking about books you read and what movies you like. And those aren't really deep areas, but the longer you get to know someone, then you sort of venture into deeper questions. And so that's kind of it. So, Chris, the next level, the second level of the relationship house Dr. Gottman says to build involves sharing fondness and admiration for your partner. So after the honeymoon is over and the passion of a new marriage dies down, the work is to keep that love and affection present in the marriage. It's a protection against times when the relationship will be challenged.
You said something about fondness. What does it mean to say, I'm fond of you?
You can actually say that. That's an actual phrase you could actually use, but mm-hmm. You might want to say specifically what that means. You can say things like, I'm proud of you, I'm attracted to you, I'm impressed by you, I like you. Those are all statements of fondness and admiration. Or you can be very specific and you can say, I'm proud of the way that you handled yourself with your boss. You could say, I'm impressed that you took out the trash today. That's an expression of fondness and admiration. Or I like how you talk to our kids and spend time with them. So those are examples of things that you would say to a partner that would begin to build that fondness and admiration.
So I'll go back to this again. You're saying that it's good to verbalize fondness and say these things out loud. don't they already know this? I mean, do I really have to say these things to Sharon?
Yes, you do. There's my definitive answer, right? Because it builds the relationship. And then you add appreciation with that fondness that you're expressing. So saying thank you, telling your partner that what they do for you is appreciated. I mean, we all like to hear this. Think about it, Chris. We do it with kids. We have to tell them and reinforce that part of it. And just saying those kinds of things really does make your partner feel like, hey, this guy cares about me. He really likes being with me. So yeah, it is really important to verbalize it.
Well, Dr. Lynn, it seems like lots of work, but that's what relationships are. You work on your relationship with people.
That's right.
Well, before we take a quick break, could you summarize what we've said so far to begin divorce-proofing your marriage?
So first, we want to build the foundation of our relationship with a really strong spiritual foundation that's held up with the pillars of trust and commitment. And of course, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ is where that foundation is built. Then we build love maps to get to know our partner in a deeper way. And we begin to express fondness and appreciation, which is building an amount of positive protection, Chris, for when difficulty comes.
Well, I know when someone feels positive about me, I can then handle the negative stuff when it comes up.
And that's why it's protective. You got to have that positive so that when the negative comes, you can handle it.
That's right. Well, on that note, Dr. Linda, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue to divorce-proof our marriage. More to come.
Anger happens. It's part of being human, but it does not need to control or even ruin your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, with a quick prescription to help you break free from anger. Whether you are seriously out of control, hot-tempered, or just easily annoyed, why not try this biblical strategy to conquer those destructive reactions? A good place to begin is to admit you have an anger problem, and then begin the tough work of finding the root of your anger. The next step is to identify the triggers, you know, the cues that set you off. Your trigger might be other people or situations or even certain thoughts that pop into your mind. Next, calm down. It's like pressing pause on the moment. Take a breath. Count to five in Spanish or maybe some other language. Get your thinking brain back into control. And then finally, create a reaction plan. So in advance, think about ways to combat those familiar angry feelings. And then practice your plan. With God's help, you can break free from anger.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. And today's topic is divorce-proofing your marriage, and we've got a lot more to talk about. But before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media as well. One of her books, I Married You, Not Your Family, deals with how to divorce-proof your marriage. And also remember, an easy way to find out what she's writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. Linda Mintel. And you can listen to the podcast as well on iTunes.
Now, we're excited about that.
Yeah, that's great.
You can podcast us anytime.
Anytime.
You can take us with you on a walk and anywhere you go, in the car. So I'm encouraging people, just go to iTunes and put the name of the show in and you'll find us. It'll pop up with all kinds of interesting shows that we've done.
We live in a world now where you can take us anywhere you'd like.
Isn't that great?
It's great.
Portable Chris and Linda. There you go.
That's right. Well, Dr. Linda, back to divorce-proofing our marriage. We've put together a couple of steps so far, but what is the next step to building a strong marriage relationship?
So we want to think about this like a house. And so we talked about, you know, you pour a foundation. We talked about that's the faith in Jesus Christ. And then you start building, you know, you build up on these levels. And so we've talked about the bottom levels being love mapping, getting to know your partner, then expressing fondness and admiration. So now we're going up another level. We're going to build even more on that house. And it's built on this principle that was found in the research, and that is that one of the biggest predictors of relationship success is your ability to turn toward your partner and meet their emotional needs on a daily and a regular basis. So this next level is all about turning to the person that you've chosen and using them as not only a sounding block, but someone that you can talk to about anything.
See, this is important because a lot of us might be tempted to turn away from our spouse when things go bad. Maybe even look to others to help us out rather than our spouse, you know, someone at work or something like that. And that can be dangerous because you start to develop an emotional relationship with others that you might not have with your spouse.
Yeah, that's really insightful because that's exactly what happens if we don't feel like we can go to that person and we can say something about what's troubling us. You know, sometimes, Chris, I think it's about we don't want to look bad or we don't want to look weak or we don't want to admit that we're having problems. But when we turn away and we go to someone else, that is a way of building intimacy with another person because you're sharing your problems. And of course, that person's going to be a good listener because they don't live with you.
Right.
So they're going to go, oh, yeah, it really sounds hard. It must be difficult. And sometimes a spouse will think, wow, that person listens to me better than my wife or my husband. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep talking to them instead of my partner.
You know, couples who stay together do this well, I would think. And we all look for attention and affirmation, affection, or anything positive from our spouse. And if you don't get it from your partner, you start to feel disappointed and distant. It's like you can't trust them anymore. And you might even think that there is somebody better out there.
Right. And that's where the grass is always greener, right?
Kind of
idea. But you have to pay attention then when your partner is talking. And this is what makes it tricky is because there are times in relationships where the person is trying to get you to pull you in and to say, I want your attention. So this is where it gets a little bit complicated, I think especially for men. Because you have to read the text.
Hey, wait a minute.
You have to read the text and the subtext, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is that you have to understand what your spouse is really asking you for. A lot of times it's, I want your attention. Mm. I want your affirmation. So you have to be able to do this together. You have to be on the same page, communicate your thoughts and desires so that you're understood by that other person. If you are able to do that and keep that emotional connection, your marriage is going to stay strong.
So we don't want to overcomplicate this. Can you give us an example of where we are so far?
Well, let's just talk about this concept of turning towards your partner. If your wife says, oh, let's get out the Yahtzee game, what do you think the message is of that, Chris?
She wants to make a lot of noise because that thing is loud.
And that's what I mean by reading the subtext. It's really a connection, a point where she's saying, hey, come on, Chris, play with me.
Right.
Or if your husband says, do you want to go on a bike ride? The connection isn't, you know, let's get exercise. It might be, join me on an adventure.
True.
I do that a lot with outdoor stuff. I want to go out and just do something. I think it's a little bit of that adventure in me that
right.
I want my husband to join in. Here's another one. Let's help grandma go to the laundromat. Now, that's not exciting, but your partner is saying something to you. And what they're saying is, do you have any idea what they might be saying?
Hey, let's do something together.
And work with me.
Right.
Work with me. We got
right.
stuff we have to do, so work with me. So when you don't connect on that kind of emotional basis, it's just tempting to turn away from each other and look for other people to do that.
So emotionally, turn toward your partner, not away from him or her. Does this help the relationship stay positive overall?
It does. Building the love maps, expressing fondness and admiration, and now turning toward that partner. If you do all of that, it really creates a strong, positive bond. And it really helps then when there are negative things that come up because you've got this overall feeling of positivity. So let me give you this example. If you have a friend that you really like, Chris, and you're saying to that friend, you know, I really like, there's everything about this guy I like. He's always trustworthy. He's always helpful. He has really good intentions. He has good motives. And then something happens and he does something. You know, his relationship with me has been really positive. What's going on with him? So if you think about it, rather than going, oh my gosh, I've had this huge positive relationship with this guy. Now one thing has happened that's negative. Most people would say, gosh, that's out of the ordinary for him. That's not the way he usually is. It's the same with your partner. If the relationship is overall really positive and then something negative happens, you tend to go, they must be having a bad day. Maybe, you know, they just talked to their mother-in-law. Something just happened that
right.
is out of the normal. But if your relationship is really negative, and it's negative most of the time, and they do something negative, you go, yep, that person's a jerk. Even when you give a neutral statement in a really negative relationship, it's perceived as negative. So the whole thing is you've got to have all of those things we've been talking about operating to build that positivity and make the overriding arch of your relationship positive so you can handle the negative when it comes in.
Well, this really then is about respect, because if you respect someone, you listen to them and their opinion matters. And this feeds into the next level of building a strong relationship house. It's being able to manage conflict. And we've done shows on the importance of managing conflict well, but give us a few bullet points.
Okay, so there are 6 skills to manage conflict in your marriage that you have to focus on. The first one is learn to start a conflict with what is called a soft startup. So you don't just come in and go, hey, I have something I have to talk to you about because you're really making me mad.
Right.
That would not be a soft startup. A soft startup would be something like, you know, something's happened that has me really concerned. Would it be okay if we talk about it?
Hmm.
Hear the difference of those two?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a soft startup. The second one, and this is an important one that is in the research, it is you have to accept the influence of the other person. So interesting, Chris, that if a man, a husband, I don't, it doesn't go the reverse way, but if a husband accepts the influence of his wife, that relationship does better. And then when you have conflict, you have to make sure that you're repairing if there's any damage that's been done. So you're apologizing, you're going back and say, hey, can we work this out? And in that process, you don't want to escalate, you want to stay really calm. And then you want to be able to say things that will help your partner calm down so that you can both work together. And then the last skill in managing conflict is sometimes you have to compromise and maybe come to a middle ground with that person.
Well, that's no fun.
Well,
compromise is hard.
It is hard. But if you use all those conflict skills, this is one of the levels of the house you have to build, learning how to manage conflict well.
That's right. But there are two more levels of building a sound relationship house that we will finish after this short break. Do you have these two things in place? More to come on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website, drlindamental.com. And one that is helpful for today's topic is I Married You, Not Your Family.
Hey, Chris, did you know that that book was originally titled Divorce Proofing Your Marriage?
Oh, really?
I actually like that title better.
I Married You, Not Your Family.
Yeah, right. It's one of the lies that I talk about. That book is about the 10 lies that lead to divorce and how you can prevent divorce. But I just thought the term Divorce Proofing Your Marriage was better. But the publisher didn't think so I lost.
Well, I will say from a looking at it on the shelf perspective, I Married You, Not Your Family is a little more eye-catching.
Oh, it grabbed you. Okay,
yeah.
So there you go. You're right there with the publishers.
Well, I do have a signed copy of the book, too.
Yes, it's true.
All right, back to the building our strong house to divorce-proof our marriages on today's program. The last two building levels are interesting. They have to do with our dreams and the meaning of life. Ooh, this could be heavy.
Yeah, well, it's not really that difficult. I mean, couples that go the distance are those that really invest in their futures together. So they're exploring what it means to make their dreams come true. They're talking about their dreams and their future and what they would like to get out of life. They build those friendships that we've been talking about. They manage conflicts. And they also talk about their dreams. So questions like, you know, what do we want to accomplish in our marriage or with our family? What problems do we really want to solve? What do you want written on your tombstone? I mean, I know we don't typically think of that in our 30s, but
right.
We might think about that and talk about that. What do you want to represent? What do you want people to know you for? So these types of questions get at the importance of who you are and who you want to be and what you want to accomplish in this life.
I think you would have to be intentional about these types of conversations because when you have kids and jobs and everything going on, would this type of content come up? Maybe not.
No, you'd have to really be intentional because you're so busy with everything,
right.
The doing of life. You're right.
And for people of faith, this is influenced by our relationship with God. It's about purpose and meaning.
Right, because we believe that God has a plan and a future and a purpose for us. We know that very well-known scripture that gives us a hope and a future, right? We move in the things that he has called us to do. And as a couple, we need to support each other in the direction that we are being called. And notice I said we, because Norm and I really believe that we're called as a couple. And there are some times when I've had to sort of put down what I thought was my dream at the moment to support what I felt God was calling us to do, which was more him. But we always get called as a couple, and we've always had peace about that. So if you don't have clear conversations about this, you could get to a little bit of conflict about this. But do talk about this as a couple and believe that God is calling you as a unit.
God can call a couple, not just an individual. You believe that?
Yeah, because you're working as a unit, and that's part of the issue. So, you know, going to church together, praying together, doing services to help other people, these are all rituals which can really strengthen our faith, and they can bring meaning to our lives. So when a couple does share a sense of purpose, when they're in unity, it brings happiness, it brings contentment. And that's one of the reasons why faith is so important. Faith gives us a focus, a way to see the world and make meaning out of good and bad things that happen to us. It unites us with a sense of purpose and connects us to someone that's higher than ourselves. You know, rituals are just empty if they don't have meaning. So talking about why we do what we do and how our faith informs our lives is extremely important in couple relationships. And so if we create meaning in our lives through our faith, it helps us through those difficult times. So share your dreams. Talk about what you believe God is calling you to do. Spend quality time together, encouraging each other to run the right race of life well. Share your goals to honor Christ in all you do and help each other along the way. If you want to divorce-proof your marriage, make God the foundation, build walls of trust and commitment, build your friendship, express fondness and admiration for your partner, turn toward each other emotionally, not away, stay positive, manage conflict, and help each other make their dreams come true. And then create a shared meaning around the purpose of life and the hope that you have of a future. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.